Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So good evening and welcome to the big match preview from Charlton Live. I hope you are well. My name is Louis Mendes, and joining me to look ahead to Saturday's massive home clash with Ipswich Town. First up, Mr. Nathan Muller. Nathan, how are you? Have you ever eaten the skin of a kiwi?
No, I've not, believe it or not. I don't know if there's any monstrosities out there or any blooming some loonies that do it. I mean, each to their own and all that. But I cannot say I've eaten a skin of a kiwi or, what else was it, an apple core or pineapple skin or anything.
Yeah, just had a conversation off air. So we've clarified that you can eat the skin of a kiwi, but Mark Newbury reckons you can eat the apple core as well, which is just absolute incorrect behaviour, isn't it, Mark?
No, I stand by it. I personally don't, but, you know, it's each to their own, as Nathan says.
Yeah, we get all sorts of weirdos listening to this this podcast, but I hope none of you eat the cores of apples anyway. Right, so on this week's show, we will be looking ahead to the game with Ipswich. We will, of course, be hearing from the Addicts boss, Nigel Adkins. Plenty of conversation with him from his press day today, looking ahead to that massive game with Ipswich Town. We've also got some tweets and emails to come to talk a little bit about Marcus Madison, Nigel meeting the Charlton Upbeats, Albie Morgan, Matt Smith, getting involved with the 23s, and of course contract situations as well. Whoop, my microphone dropped there, but I'll carry on as if it didn't happen. what a start to the show on this evening's big match preview. So just before we dive in ahead of the game with Ipswich, Nathan, how are you feeling going into it? Obviously the mood in the camp is very good at this moment. A really exciting game. If you look at the league table, is Ipswich just 2 points behind us, having played a game, or we're in this bizarre situation now where we have games in hand on other teams?
Yeah, it's mad. It's mad how it's sort of panned out. I think a few weeks ago, which I still stand by, you know, I'm not, you know, it's exciting, but if we don't go up, you know, I'd be disappointed, but it's not going to be the end of the world. And I said on the last time I was on, if we look back when Accrington had, like, what, 4 games in hand or something, and look, they've just plummeted. I think they're conceding goals for fun. So it just shows that, you know, anything can happen in, you know, on the day. I think most of us would have took a point against Sunderland in the form they were in, and their home form especially. And it just shows that, you know, anything can happen. And it's good. It makes it, you know, the season interesting. It's better than just, you know, when you're at the ground and it's that lull to the end of the season and you're just playing pointless games, it's bad enough. But being at home, it would be even worse. So it's good that we've got something to look forward to. Still going to keep my feet on the ground, not going to get too carried away. But we're playing, you know, we've played really, very solid. We look harder to beat. And you can see the work that Nigel's doing on the training ground's working. So, yeah, positive. Of course I'm positive. And if we can make a go of it, then who knows? But no doubt that if we do make it, we'll end up getting Sunderland again. And will it be 3 times lucky? I don't know. But for them. But yeah, positive, mate. But I'm not going to get too carried away.
Mark, are you getting carried away? I mean, will you be getting carried away if we beat Ipswich on Saturday?
No. I think I've followed us now for enough years to not get carried away in any way, shape or form. Every time you think that's it, this is going to be it, it turns around and sort of like bites you. It's good to have like a lot of positivity, and I think there is that, you know, nagging thing to say, you know what, if we do get in the playoffs, is it just going to be that one step too far for us this season? I don't know. It's difficult. It's going to sound funny, but we'll see how it is after Ipswich. We'll have even better picture then. You know, but you're saying about doing silly things. I mean, if you look at Sunderland, you know, then Wigan go and beat them. So, you know, they could be on a real downer now. So they could, potentially drop down. So, you know, I'd rather be where we are, almost chasing, as it were. But, you know, no, I'm quietly positive, not overly so. Does that make sense?
Yeah, certainly does. Right, well, let's hear from a man who is always very positive, Nigel Adkins. Had his press day today ahead of the game with Ipswich. Speaks about plenty of stuff in this first clip that we're going to hear. Obviously, talks about the injury situation, the game with the Tractor Boys, our home form overall and the playoff race. But he starts with how the mood in the camp is after that win at Sunderland last weekend.
Yeah, the lads are in good spirits, as you rightly say. It's a hard-fought victory, an important victory. Obviously, Sunderland had been undefeated for a long period of time, you know, so to go up there and get the win in the manner that we did, we're all very pleased with. And we know, you know, it was a tough, hard end, 3 points, but great character shown by the players, which is important. From our point of view on training, yes, there's one or two little niggles in there, which every team's going to have, but everyone's going to be trying to, you know, make themselves available as best as possible for Saturday's game. And then obviously we got Plymouth, then we got Peterborough. So it's a big, you know, a big week coming up from that point of view of the games we've got and a bit of travelling we've got to do through the midweek as well.
It's still too early.
From the injury point of view, obviously Connor's probably not going to make the game, Connor Washington, but he's progressing well. And we'll see how he figures through the course of the week. You know, Chuck's, we're going to say tomorrow we'll have more of an idea. We're giving everybody every opportunity. So when we talk about Ian and we talk about Chuck's and EK, Alex Gilby's trained really well today, so Alex is fine. You know, you can read into different things you want. We're trying to get everybody out and available. Connor's the one that won't make this game, but you never know where he is for the rest of the week, which is good, pleasing.
Cheers, Nigel. After Saturday, we're actually now second in the away league table. But we've got Ipswich at home, obviously, this Saturday, and we're 17th in that particular table. We got 5 of our last 7 at home. Is the home form something you've looked specifically at, or is it a case of the more you try and focus on a home form, the more it gets into players' heads? How do you approach something like that?
I think we just got to approach it as the next game. What's the next game that we've got to go and play? You can spin it in different ways. If we haven't won so many games at home, then law of averages, we do a win. So you can look at it that way. You know, ultimately, the players are honest, hardworking. They're giving everything they've got. I went to watch Wimbledon against Ipswich on Tuesday evening. And obviously, you know, Cookie's made a few comments as well after the game. So they're having a challenging period. But one thing I can guarantee is going to be just as tough as it was against Sunderland for us. You know, they're going to be really fired up for the game. Because they're like us. We're very close in the league table. They're pushing for playoff position. So are we. And having played with Paul as well all them years ago at Wigan Athletic and known him over the years, I know that his team's going to be fully committed, so we've got to be right up for the battle. It's going to be a real tough game. Whatever formation and whatever personnel they pull out, it's going to be a tough, tough game. But we've got to make sure it's a tough game for them as well. And we've got to not rest on the laurels of what we've been doing so far. We've got to keep pushing on and driving on. And I must say, the players have applied themselves really well so far. And we've got to keep that going. You know, we just got to keep working very, very hard. We've got some good quality players, but the spirit's been good. But the work ethic and the determination to keep improving will constantly be here with the standards that we're after.
And obviously, it's your first proper game at the Valley in charge. So something to look forward to. 8th in the table. I mean, a statement Saturday, but last Saturday, that is. A statement next Saturday could be bigger if we can put that gap between us and Ipswich in your first game at the Valley.
Yeah, listen, I'm really looking forward to being in there, being in the dressing room, being on the pitch. It's just a shame the supporters aren't there, aren't they? But I know we've got, you know, straight away I've seen obviously the Valley Pass and the stream that it's done. I know the supporters, the engagements, did a bit away with it. It was really good to be with the Upbeats team through the course of the week as well. When you listen to what the Charitable Trust is doing. It's such a great football club to be part of, you know. And from my point of view, yes, the supporters aren't in the stadium at this moment, but they will be. And we're all pulling in the same direction. So that's good. But I'm looking forward to the game. I know it's going to be a tough one. But likewise, I've got to familiarise myself with being in the home dugout. I haven't been in the away dugout. I've got to familiarise myself being in the home dugout and the surroundings of the game as well. So it's something I'm really looking forward to. And, you know, as I said, every game now is vitally important. We need to get a certain amount of points to be in the playoff position. So it's fair to say, yes, a result can go against us and it's still, we're still in there. it's fair to say that every game now is massively important from a point
of view. Big Nige there, plenty of stuff to get our teeth into. Really good little clip from press day there, because he covered a lot of bases. Nathan, I mean, how important, first of all, I mean, you spoke about the momentum and the mood in the players. I mean, that is big, because the positivity breeds results, momentum breeds results, and they breed confidence, which therefore breeds more results. So when you get into a little tasty run of form like we're on, it only really sort of gives you the chance to go and do it even more.
Yeah, of course. I think Curbs has been saying it on, you know, Valley Pass on all the streams, saying, you know, we need to put a run together. It's amazing what momentum can do. And I remember when, you know, when we were in the Premiership and Curbs was saying, you know, winning breeds confidence and confidence breeds result. And it's just a cycle that obviously goes hand in hand with each other. And it's working for us at the moment. And I mean, I still can't. I mean, it feels like we've been saying putting that run together forever. But it just seems like no one's really taking it. I mean, I know Hull and Peterborough pulling away a little bit now. But up until, you know, the last couple of weeks, no one's really been taking it by the scruff of neck and, you know, going on. So it's amazing that we're still in there, especially with those bad runs. And you just look back at all those silly results that we had, you know, like the Watchdale home game, the Wimbledon away game, just in the most recent ones, really, of how better we could have been if we just kept that little bit of consistency. But yeah, I think the momentum's good, and we look harder to beat, as I just said, and we look like we've got a solid base. And I think with any new manager, the first thing you do is you start on your defence and work your way up. You go start on your defence, then your midfield, then your forwards, which looks like it's working. So we've got our solid foundation, being harder to beat, good shape, structured, and now it's a case of that we're not keeping the ball well enough. So that's the next bit. Like, why are we, you know, how can we keep the ball better? And then you move on to your forwards, which we've not really been too bad with. So, yeah, it's good. We're in a good place. And I just think, you know, there's been many times this season where it's been rubbish. You know, we're not going to deny that. And so we've got to enjoy the moment. You know, I'm not going to be too carried away, but let's ride the wave, as it were. And, yeah, I don't think a lot of teams are going to want to play us. Last time we were in League One, we had that little bit of run at the end of the year, didn't we? So, and look how that ended up. So enjoy the moment. We're in a good place mentally. Looks like Nigel's got them all positive. Good to see Gilby putting, you know, getting back to where we thought he was going to be at the beginning of the season. And yeah, everything's working out at the moment. But like Mark said, we've all seen it before. We've remembered the good times, but we've also remembered those end of seasons where we just sort of peter out. So we just have to wait and see, mate.
Yeah, and that's why it's going to be really fascinating on Saturday against Ipswich Town, obviously, because it's an Ipswich side who aren't in that good run of form. Is it one win in the last seven or eight for them? Obviously, Paul Cook's got in there, but they're on a difficult run. You know, beating quite handily at Wimbledon during the week, Mark. And, you know, we've got to look to be quite ruthless now and take advantage of that. Last week, it was different. We went to a Sunderland team who were in fine form, and we dug in, made it difficult, won the game. Ipswich, they're in a little bit of a run of poor form, so I imagine they're going to try and come to us and sit behind and make it ugly. And well, that's what you'd expect anyway, because they need to sort of get themselves back onto a decent run, whereas we maybe the pressure will be a little bit back on us now to go and impose ourselves on this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're a slightly different proposition now under Nigel than we were under Bowes, which makes it better for us. I think we were becoming almost a tad predictable under Bowes. And, you know, Nigel's come in and he's looked at some players who weren't getting the time, like Gilby, and then going, you know what, you can do a job for me there. And, every time Ipswich don't travel well, they've got basically all their points are from home. And every time I've seen any of them this season, they've looked as capable as Ricketts at the back as we have. So if we can take advantage of that, I think you're right. I think what Cook will come and do, I think he'll just pack out the midfield. He'll play five across, you know, or potentially five at the back, and then try and stifle our wing play and just make it a real dogfight in the middle. But I think if you've got Prattley in there and Jake, who's, you know, leaps and bounds this season, and I think, you know, that could be the kind of battle which Prattley will relish, and it might go against them. And then, depending on who's fit, because I know there were some question marks about Martson, up front, I think we'll have opportunities, and it's just taking those opportunities. I'd like to say, I think it's they won't really know what kind of like Charlton they're going to face. I think, you know, 2 months ago they'd have known what Charlton they were facing. I think under Atkins, he's a good tweaker, as it were. So he looks at certain areas and say, right, let's just slightly adjust that, and it will tighten the ship, like he's done with the defence. And obviously having Innes back is a huge boost for us. But they've got, I'm trying to think of the young lad they've got up front who's quite quick. And that's the only thing, you know, with a bit of pace. We're not really blessed with pace at the back. But, you know, you don't worry about them so much as what, you know, your own game on the day. So, you know, cautiously optimistic. Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, certainly. The first time I've ever heard someone's tweaking ability assessed on the pod. But hey, you're all for it. Nathan, I mean, do you see Nigel getting his tweakers out?
Oh dear, what an image. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if he eats like a kiwi with the hair on it.
I'd like to think so. That's why he's so positive. There's fibre in it or something. You get fibre. That's why when you look at me, I'm the picture of health.
Yeah,
they suggest it's good for a bowel movement.
Yeah, so. Well, no problems there, I can assure you.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know. I mean, it's difficult because, I mean, he's obviously played the winning team twice. And I think it makes a difference playing the same team, I think, and maybe not tweaking it so much. Because look at the likes of Adam Matthews. He's come in, he's played two games, played well, winning. And he probably knows that he's got a good chance of starting. Whereas when you know that you could get dropped from week to week, you can't get any consistency, you can't get any momentum. So it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't tweak it too much, depending on how they train. There could be players like Albie or Ronnie Schwartz. They, you know, they'd be chomping at the bit and may have deserved a chance. And I mean, I think in terms of tweaking it, we'll have to wait and see. But Ipswich have been toothless recently. I think, obviously, they didn't score against Wimbledon. Their two games before that was against MK Dons and Rochdale, didn't have a single shot on target. So they're struggling a little bit at the moment. They've got, obviously, pace, as Mark was saying. Probably, I don't know if he was thinking about Caden Jackson, or I don't know if they've still got Troy Parrott. But it's going to be, they've still got, on paper, they've still got good players. But it doesn't seem like they're in a good place at the moment. So for me, it just depends. I don't see Nigel changing things for the sake of changing it. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't tweak it too much.
Yeah, I mean, looking at us, Mark, I mean, is there any changes you think would be right? I mean, we hear that obviously Ian went off injured at Sunderland, and from what Nigel said, it seemed to be like he'll have a possibility. But other than that, are there too many changes you'd make or seek to make?
No, personally, I wouldn't. I'd try and keep the same starting 11. It was really, you know, saying that if Ian's not fit, whether he then goes with Miller up front and still has the kind of like buzzing round Jaden and have him and DJ sort of like swap over from time to time. So really that was the only sort of like tweak I was looking at. I wouldn't touch the defence. It's whether Chucks is back for the bench. It looked like there were pictures of him today, you know, in the training. So I think he's going to be back and fit. So whether that would drop Ronnie out or he might go, you know, drop out one of his spare midfielders. Do you need Watson on the bench and put Ronnie on as well? Because we still don't have Connor Washington. So having a couple of options to come on up front, if, say, we were a goal down and then he could bring on Chucks and Ronnie, you know, that would be a thing. So I think when I say about tweaking, I think it's just moving personnel around as and when you need them. I'm not sure having Watson on the bench, if you're going to have Deji there as well, is much point, because Deji can go anywhere across the back and into midfield, where Watson can really sort of like, you just put him on at centre mid and that would be about it. So he limits you for options.
Yeah, I'd say I imagine there's more confidence in Ben than Deji, though, personally. I mean, one thing that we certainly need to tweak, Nathan, is our home form this season. Now, you could argue that we've already got the tweakers out on that one as well, because we have, you know, started to pick up results at home. You know, we've won two of the last three, a draw in the other one. Obviously, it feels like ages. The last home game was the 16th of March. So as of tomorrow, Friday, it'd be a month since we last played at home, obviously, with that Lincoln game that was called off. And did we have another one called off? Oh, I can't remember. But, yeah, so have we turned the home corner? Are we on the home straight now with the home form?
Well, you'd like to think so, wouldn't you? I think we just need to replicate. I think sometimes it's difficult because if people come at us, then we'll play, you know, we can play really well in a break, especially with Miller and, you know, DJ. So, yeah, it all depends on really how they set up. I mean, for me, I think Ipswich need to win the game if they're going to have any chance of making those playoffs. So I think it might actually play into our hands a little bit. But I mean, Ipswich, as Mark said, I mean, in their last, what, they won in their last six, I don't think, away from home. But then our home form, you know, we've picked it up recently. So, I mean, the stats are all pointing to us doing well, but we know that football isn't one like that sometimes. So we've got 1-2 in the last six or whatever. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting. And it's time we obviously replicate our away form at home. Be solid, you know. Just because you're playing at home, it doesn't mean you have to go gung-ho. And I think that's where I think sometimes where Boya went wrong sometimes was he couldn't get that balance. He wanted to be a bit more adventurous, but then we left ourselves exposed at the back. And it seems like at the moment, I know it's early days, you know, we've only had a couple of games under Nigel, but he seemed to strike the right balance. So he's defensively solid. We've nicked a couple of goals. Possession ain't been great, but he's trying to work out a system that's going to work to keep us solid, because we know that we can score goals. It's just the other side. And that's, you know, and that's vastly improved. So hopefully Ipswich take that into the game and go, right, now we need to win this game and attack us a little bit more than just sitting deep, because they're the teams that we seem to struggle against.
Yeah, I mean, talking of vast improvements as well, obviously, you know, whenever there's a new manager that comes in, Mark, you think about what clear improvements he's made, and you could, you know, whether you put that down to him or not. But the performance of Alex Gilby in the last two now, I thought he did okay at Doncaster. I thought he played well at Sunderland. I mean, he's turning into an important player as well. In a midfield that at times, you know, earlier on in the season, perhaps needed a little bit of help. Now, he's coming in actually proven this forward-running player who got into a goal-scoring position, obviously, on Saturday. I mean, he all of a sudden could be something extra that Ipswich have to think about this weekend.
Well, that's it. You know, one, I didn't realise how actually tall he was. He's a big old lump. And I think we know he's been a good player for his previous clubs. I mean, I think he's won three times for player of a club, with clubs he was at. So, you know, that kind of player who wins that award is going to be good consistently. If he's in a good place now, that's even better for us. And it's funny because we spoke about it a few weeks ago, and I said, you know, I just couldn't really remember what he'd done. And then, you know, we said actually he did a really good job just marking, I think it was Bostock, out the game. And I think, you know, the goal he scored at Sunderland, you know, good finish, you know, into the box. I mean, there was analysis on his movements off the ball into the box. And I think that's what we've sort of almost missed since when Gallagher was on with us, with that midfielder who's driving into the box late, giving their defence something else to worry about, as opposed to thinking, oh, you know, we're not going to pile in, we're going to try and knock it into someone. It's someone who's arriving late. It's what I always thought Invictus Jake would be doing, but he sits a little deeper. So Gilby can stride up and down and arrive almost unnoticed. So, yeah, I think Paul Cook's going to be sitting, scratching his head, trying to negate, you know, the strengths we've now picked up round the pitch. I mean, DJ looks like he's really, you know, picking up into the player we know, you know, he was at Swindon. So Jaden, obviously, you know, Sunderland couldn't cope with him in the air. So how they deal with that, you don't know. And then, you know, Martson's almost like the X factor, because no one's, until 2 weeks ago, no one thought he was a winger. And then suddenly he turns up, you know, winning goal. And he's quick and he's nippy and he's getting around and he's making good runs. So I think if they'll look back at previous games of ours and just go, yeah, no idea. I mean, because they'll only really look at probably the Atkins games, and we've looked good. I mean, there's been a couple of times where Ben Amos has kept us in it, but you know, you expect that in virtually in any game. So I think there's more problems for Paul Cook than there are for Atkins. So we'll see.
Mm, yeah, certainly. I mean, one more thing on the home form, Nathan. I mean, there was an interesting excuse for Man United's poor home form with the fact they have to play in wearing red shirts surrounded by red seats. I mean, that's an issue that we suffer from ourselves. I mean, do you reckon that could be it? Is there scope for trying to paint every seat in the stadium like white or something to make sure that we win all our home games?
Nah, of course. I think Man United. I think Fergie changed their kit once, didn't he?
Yeah, down at Southampton. They still lost anyway. They went from grey to blue.
That's what I mean. I think if you look at our away games, what we're second in the league of away form. Look, we played 21 games, conceded 18. Yeah, that our home form, we've played 3 games less, so 18, but we've conceded 33 goals. So that to me, and we've only scored 30 at home, scored 27 away. So that straight away, you know, if teams come at us, we don't really like it. And so every time, and you had that little spell where we was giving away silly goals, where it was simple balls over the top, which is organisation. Organisational well, positional
maybe
player.
The defenders saw the seat behind them and thought they were going to clear it.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, or they probably, it was just a bit of miscommunication. But I'm not in for about, you know, blaming seats and everything. I just think we've not been good enough at home. It's pretty simple.
No, I blame the seats. Right. The midweek was actually really fascinating, looking at some of those scores going in. Yeah, we all got excited when Ipswich were beaten at Wimbledon. I saw some people getting excited when Wigan beat Sunderland. I was like, I don't really think that affects us because I don't think we're going to catch Sunderland. Doncaster getting heavily beaten by Burton Albion. But then on the other side of it, Lincoln smashed Milton Keynes 4-0. Ipswich beat Shrewsbury 4-1. Blackpool got a point against Accrington. I think Accrington are, you know, almost certainly out of it now, which is incredible, really, when you consider, I mean, they're only 4 points behind us. Maybe I'm talking slightly too soon, but they're not in as good a position as they were 3 or 4 weeks ago. I mean, how do you assess that table? It's like as I said earlier on in the show, Mark, now we are actually a side that has games in hand on other teams. We're 3 points behind Pompey, who've played a game more than us. Oxford are on the same points as us, and they've played 2 more games. All of a sudden, I mean, we're only 3 points behind Blackpool, you know, who've played the same amount of games as us. All of a sudden, I mean, it's really opened up in our favour.
Yeah, it's very, very tight there. I don't think, you know, if someone said you could win £1 million on guessing the final top 6, I don't think many people would probably actually win it. It's hard to say because we've got some momentum going. I mean, Blackpool are looking solid. Portsmouth, you know, not so much. Lincoln, I did see someone said, oh, you know, all their illnesses and injuries have cleared up then, so they want to play again. But again, they're coming up a Milton Keynes side who aren't going to get relegated, aren't going to get promoted. They've hit that impasse to the season where, you know, we were talking about it recently. We were saying, would you rather be playing the teams at the top, teams at the bottom, or teams with like nothing to play for? And I think Nathan said we'd rather be playing the teams at the top, and I think I would. Because I think, you know, if you beat them and then you're going to come up against them again in the playoffs, I think it gets in their minds. And the teams down the bottom are scrapping for everything. I mean, I think Lincoln beating Milton Keynes 4-0 is absolutely proof that the Milton Keynes boys have, you know, probably had their flip-flops and sunscreen on for the game.
The famous Milton Keynes beach, because they're not allowed to travel anywhere.
Well, that's it, yeah. So, you know, I've always said I prefer to have the points in the bag than the games in hand, because then it's up to everyone else to sort of like overtake you, as it were. And now we're saying, you know, we've got this game in hand, but I think it's the Lincoln one, which is just before the end of the season, the last home game. And it was a bit of a sort of like a tight week for us, but, you know, there's nothing to say. By then, things might have already been sorted out. So I take it one game at a time is probably quite a good mantra, because the way it does swap round, because after this weekend, it'll be all change again. You know, we could be in that top 6 again and someone's dropped out. And then, you know, you look at it again and go, right, now the next focus. It's pretty much the manager's mantra. It's just like, look at the next game. Just look at the next game ahead, and that's it. So let's deal with Ipswich and then see how we look on Sunday.
Excellent stuff. Right, don't forget, it's an early kickoff on Saturday at the Valley, 12:30 kickoff. Don't forget, due to the funeral of Prince Philip, kicking off at 3. So we've got to get the football out the way. Darren Bent and Paul Mortimer on Valley Pass this weekend, so it should be another good show. Right, quick break. When we come back, we've got some tweets and emails to have a look at.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we meet again and I offer my hand all dry and English slow. And you look at me and I understand, yeah, it's a look I used to know.
Good ball out here on the right-hand side of Smith. Smith, ball into the box. And he can hear fire! No, what a header! Superb goal by Joan. Brilliantly worked on this right-hand side. Smith with the cross. And Aniko's on hand to bury his header.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We're looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Ipswich Town at the Valley. Big one as the Tractor Boys roll into SU7. Now, let's have a look at some emails, actually. Yeah, Simon Ryder has emailed in. Hi, guys. Great pods recently. Cheers, Simon. Really capturing the fans. Not sure about Adkins through to hang on. This guy knows what he's doing. We could be making a late charge. Yeah. On an optimistic note, the lowest points total to hit sixth spot for the playoffs over recent years was Chesterfield in 2014-15 with 69 points. It typically takes 72 to be certain. So with Charlton on 62, we need at least 10 points from the seven games. Where 21 are available. I think we will take around 14 to 16 points if Nigel manages the squad well. Here's why. We have a lot of players fit, and many players are playing for a new contract next season, and with a positive manager and a great owner, why wouldn't he want to be at Charlton? The current starting 11 still has plenty of talent to come in if needed. Shinny and Morgan, for example, Miller in burst. So players, when they do come in over the next 7, 9 or maybe 10 games, will be hungry to prove themselves. We're playing teams that need to play. The ones in and around the top, Lincoln, Portsmouth and Peterborough, will all be getting twitchy, and the rest are in mid-table with nothing to play for. So there we go. Simon's certainly feeling very positive. There are lots of reasons there to be positive as to why we can get into the top six come the end of the season. Now, Simon's also added in some suggestions. Now, if you were listening on Sunday's pod, we talked a little bit about the naming of the East Stand. It's going to be renamed the Alan Kirbishley Stand after, of course, the legendary former player and manager. So after that, I thought I'd ask some of you guys what other things you'd like to see named at the Valley. So Mark and Nath, have a quick think as well if you've got any to talk about. But Simon's recommendations are as follows. The Southall Memorial Deal Phone, it doesn't ring though, isn't actually even connected to anything yet. So if we need to name a telephone, it says that one bar should be called the Great Dane with Klaus Jensen picks. It serves Carlsberg and very, very delicate chips like that. We can then have a bigger bar called the Greater Dane in 10 years when Thomas Sandgaard has taken us into Europe, we can hope. Right, that's from Simon. It says, look forward to enjoying the running with us. Cheers, Simon. Right, Ben Hodges had a suggestion as well. Says, thanks for your continued work on the pod. An ongoing highlight of the week for me. Thanks, Ben. Says, your game, how about the Katrine Mayer customer service kiosk? Yeah, I mean, that could have a lot of uses. Maybe not. The ESI Lost Property Department. The Guy Lose on Crouch. Well, you know, he didn't tend to stand. Yeah, you can't name a stand after him. The Alan Pardew Dance Floor. The Chris Powell Tunnel. Yeah, all good suggestions there. Nathan, would you find yourself on the Alan Pardew Dance Floor?
Judging by that tweet that you retweeted from about 15 years ago up in Manchester, it was at Rochdale, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a funny night.
Yeah, that was last week, wasn't it?
I was trying to think. I don't know. You don't have to be stands. You could have anything, couldn't you?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So you could have the Joe Doodoo toilets. You could have the Roland's Châtelet water fountain at the training ground.
Nice, you know? We've got to get the water around there somewhere.
So you've got everything. I'm trying to think of any more. You've put me on the spot a bit, but yeah. I think Mark's got a special one, isn't he?
Yeah, coming in, Mark.
He's been itching for this, hasn't he?
No, I've been itching. It's just kiwi. No, well, I've got the Carol Fry laundry basket.
Could name the whole laundry room after him, yeah.
I thought I would. Or the Russell Slade Memorial Microphone, and that's for you, Lou.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm not going to go near that one anytime.
You see what he did there? He's patient, wasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, shut up, Nathan. Right. David Amos says, how about the Dowie Dunny? He was the beginning of our downfall. He left Palace to move further south by about 15 foot, but he definitely took us south. And then David does say, how about recognising Steve Gritt for his contribution, but in a smaller way, maybe the Steve Gritt gate as well. So that's one thing that people might want to think about as well. So yeah, thanks for your suggestions. Some good ones in there. Thanks for playing along with my little games that I get myself wrapped up in sometimes. Something else quite nice that happened this week as well is Nigel Adkins went and met some of the Cheltenham upbeats. Now, I know we have some of the lads who listen to the shows. So, if you were along with Nigel this week at the training ground, this is what Nigel had to say about having that lovely little walk with you guys at the training ground earlier this week.
I'm still smiling now.
Still smiling, yeah, fair enough.
Will James and Jonathan, it was great to see them. They just give you that enthusiasm, don't they? You know what I mean? We walked around the training ground and it was really, really good. And they could ask me some questions. We had a good conversation about different things. It's just great. It's uplifting. And again, speaking with Carl, and I did another session after that as well with the community trust, and just understanding everything that goes on with the football club and the community. It's great. It's great to go and see it. I'm really pleased to be part of it.
Lovely stuff, Nigel. Meeting the upbeats there, Nathan. I mean, you've done work with them, haven't you? You looked after them at Wimbledon away, actually. But obviously, we've all done the various upbeat walks, which is coming up again next week, obviously still socially distanced. But, I mean, this is one of those things that the Cheltenham fans always love to get involved with.
Yeah, of course. I think it's great. And I think it's, as a highlight for the club of, what the Trust do, especially with Carl and Terry, and the others involved who do a great job. And it gives all the lads and girls something to look forward to. And I'm moving. I've got to do some bits because I'm moving. So I'm not going to be able to take part this year. But yeah, usually all of us do it, go and have a walk and support the upbeats, because I think it's a great cause. And not only is it a great cause, they're brilliant. You know, they're brilliant people and brilliant at football, and they're champions, and, all the dance and stuff the other day. So yeah, I think it's a great thing that we do every year. I remember the last one, I think it was the Luton game, wasn't it? And it was a good day because we had that long walk and then we had a good result with it. So, yeah, hopefully everyone goes out and supports it and, gets some much-needed funding. So, because they work extremely hard down there and all the lads love it. So, yeah, buzzing.
Yeah, so the idea is that on Saturday the 24th of April, so not this weekend but the one after, ahead of the Peterborough game that day? It's definitely ahead of a home game. The idea is if you sign up and you can just go and walk around a mile. Obviously, it's still socially distanced, unfortunately, so we can't all do it together. But yeah, if you go out, walk a mile, donate £10, keep the upbeats going. I think my plan is, although now I say I'm going to have to do it, I am planning on walking from home to the Valley for the game. But I'm going to have to get then someone to drop down all my stuff because I ain't carrying that all the way from...
I was just about to say that. I said, you ain't carrying all of that stuff, are
you? No way I could carry my ISDN kit and all that. It'd kill me. I could barely carry my own weight just walking that far.
It's been hard, is it, that lockdown?
Oh, yeah. Been a big one. So that's the plan. So have a look on the Cheltenham Athletic Community Trust Twitter and website and stuff. Find out the form to sign up. But make sure you sign up for the Upbeats Walk. We'll all be doing our part as well and making sure that we can donate some money for the Cheltenham Upbeats. Right, one more break. We've still got a few more bits to talk about after the break. We're going to hear from the boss, Big Nige, one more time. Or maybe even two more times if we're lucky after the break.
pressuring the ball again, and Gunter doing exactly that. Almost gets the ball off to Lewis. Doesn't know where it is. Williams picks it up. And AK in the box. Can he touch it to Swartz? He can! He
yes!
First goal for the Onyx, and it's a stormer.
What a finish from the new boy.
Charlton Live.
Well, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We're looking ahead, obviously, to the game with Ipswich. We've spoken about the game a lot. Talk about some players who haven't been involved too much, Albie Morgan and Matt Smith, in a little while. But one thing I do want to talk about, Mark, before we go any further. Now, obviously, it does relate to one of our players. It's Marcus Maddison, who's been out on loan with Bolton Wanderers. Now, has announced during the week that his loan spell has been cut short. Now, obviously, I mean... Initially, everyone's like, "Well, does that mean he's coming back to play for us?" But I don't think that's going to be the way it's going to work anyway. But the more important fact is the reason why it's been cut short. Now, Marcus is been on loan at Bolton, obviously a side they're doing very well in League Two, big club. You know, I'm sure it's a great place to play football. But when it was announced his loan spell was being cut short, and Ian Everett, the manager there, says that they need to look after Marcus. Now, Marcus put this on his Instagram. I'll just give you the gist of the post. It says, "The football industry has eventually broke me. All the abuse, the pressures and monotony of the last 2 years have got to me. I've tried to fit in and be happy, but if I can't be happy in a winning team fighting for promotion, it's clearly something deeper. I'm returning home to think, do I want to play football anymore, as it just doesn't bring me any joy at all. I can't thank Ian Everett enough for understanding and wish Bolton all the best in the final running." So obviously, you know, we're Charlton Live, we wish Marcus all the best with whatever decision he decides to make, you know, once he's gone back and thought about it. But I mean, it goes to show that, you know, people in any walk of life can struggle. You know, it must be so easy to carry to think, oh, the footballers are on this sort of money, they run around kicking a ball, but you know, you don't really understand, I guess, what people are going through underneath the surface, and how difficult life is or can be for everyone, no matter what they do for a living, Mark.
Well, that's it. I mean, it takes a strong man to actually admit that he needs help, which is not the easiest thing to do. Over the last year, I think most people have gone through times where they've struggled, and it's not been the easiest to say, you know, I need help. I mean, a lot of people have offered online, and you put messages, and people say, you know, I'm there to, you know, if you need to talk to somebody. But that's not the easiest thing to do sometimes. So it's good that he's recognised that he does need for help. And, you know, unfortunately, it's because he talks about the last 2 years, that would have been abuse he's had from our fans, from the Hull fans, from the Peterborough fans. And it probably does build up. I mean, we always thought, you know, came across with his tattoos, he was quite a cocky character, and it's obviously some kind of facade which he sort of like keeps to see people, you know, seeing his what he would perceive to be as a weakness, and it's not. So I didn't think for one moment he'd be sort of like coming back and putting on one of our shirts again. Hopefully, you know, either someone at the club, you know, there is something in place to say, look, we can get you the help which you need. You know, if you're speaking to a professional. And so you get your priorities, because it's horrible. I know there are one or two footballers who have admittedly have said they don't like playing the game, even though they're very good at it. I think Danny Rose at Spurs is another one who's come out and said, you know what, I don't like the game, but I do it because it, you know, earns me a living. And if he can go home, and if he decides, you know what, I'm going to walk away, then I hope he finds success in the next thing he does. It's, you know, he's got family, so the last thing you want to do is wake up and see an article in the paper is that he's done something to himself, and you know, he's left a widow and orphan children. So hopefully, you know, there is always help out there, and it's just being big enough and saying, you know what, I need help, I need someone just to phone me up and, you know, see how I'm doing. So hopefully he can get that.
Yeah. I mean, part of the message there, Nathan, from Marcus is talking about, I mean, he talks about the pressures and the monotony of the game, but the bit that gets to me is the abuse. Now, obviously, you know, we've spoken about Kyle's podcast, the Mental Well Balling Pod, a few times recently, but, you know, a couple of the episodes I've listened to over the last week, actually, sort of catching up with Lewis Page And then Connor Washington. And one, I think Connor mentions that people would actually, like, when he was, he's only just rejoined social media, but people go out of their way to message footballers that when they're not happy. And I found that fascinating with Lewis Page as well. Obviously, you know, Lewis had dreadful luck with injuries, and, you know, I was desperately sorry for him. I can understand perhaps some people were being, feel a bit upset because they want to see Lewis Page play, but surely what would on earth would possess people to go out of their way and then send a message, the direct message to them on Instagram or Twitter, to, like, slag them off? Like, I just don't understand what goes through people's heads. And the worst thing is, I mean, that's the first part. I don't understand why you're doing it. What will it possibly achieve? There's a difference between having a little conversation amongst your friends about saying, oh, I'm not sure so-and-so had a good game, I'm not sure so-and-so is playing very well, but it's a completely different kettle of fish to at someone in it. It's weird. I don't understand why on earth you do it. But then, second to that, is people don't think about the consequence of these things. And, I mean, for starters, I mean, it's not going to make that player any better, is it? You know, that's before we even scrape the surface of the effect that it has on that player. You know, that human being who is just trying to earn a living for their club and who would know if they've had a bad game. Like, that's a bit that really gets to me. People who would send a direct message to someone they don't know and slag them off, it doesn't achieve anything.
No, of course it don't. And I think, you know, like you're saying, everyone's entitled to have an opinion, right? But there's ways you should do it. You don't at someone. I mean, look, if we all sit back and go, right, I don't know, XYZ had a bad game and they were really, really rubbish. Yeah, granted, they probably did. And believe it or not, they're professional footballers and I'm pretty sure they will know if they've had a bad game, right? And I think it doesn't really achieve. And if everyone just keeps going banging on about how rubbish are and then the abuse, what you're going to do is, because you have some fans that enjoy, you know, you have some players that engage with fans, but what it's going to do is just going to put people off. And look, no player in this world plays badly on purpose, do they? I mean every one of us has a job, and, or, you know, we're looking for a job. You don't go out to be really rubbish at work. Some days you have bad days. They're humans, you know. And I just think the whole, which is a bigger piece altogether in terms of, it's easy for people to hide behind an avatar and just abuse people. I think, you know, I've had bits now and again, and, you know, you just learn to ignore it. But I'm not in the spotlight as much as these players are, and I just think sometimes it's so easy for people to just go and send that abusive message, which isn't really going to gain anything. If anything, it makes them look stupid, in my opinion anyway.
It's a shame, really, because you actually made some really salient points there. But as soon as you said people hiding behind an avatar, do you remember that film with the big blue guys? I was just thinking of someone hiding behind one of those and slagging someone off. I did say earlier we're going to hear a little bit about Albie Morgan and Matt Smith. Now, they featured in the game for the under-23s during the week. Nigel was down there to watch them. Benji Nurek was in the press conference today and asked Nigel if he was having a look at them, because there is still hope that they will be involved and have their chances going forward this season.
It's like everyone's got to be ready, because your opportunity will come when you least expect it. Well, we've got a group of players who are all, I've talked to them on several occasions about, focused on the run of games that we've got, you know, and everyone's going to be needed. We've obviously gone Saturday games so far. We're now going to be in a situation where we're going to Saturday, Tuesday through it. It's challenging, you know, especially when you throw the travel that we've got to put in there midweek, for example, at Plymouth. And one injury at this moment in time could rule somebody out for the rest of the season. You know, obviously you've got to be mindful of the referees, just a misplaced challenge could obviously, if you get a red card, you're out for three games. And all of a sudden, the squad of players becomes diminished. So everyone's got a role to play. And we've got to be mindful of that. And everyone's got to be ready. So it was great when you answered the question. Albie and Matt, it was great for them to get a full 90 minutes football in a game. It was great for me to go and watch them. I was there watching them as well as the 23s, specifically watching them and seeing what their attributes are and what they can bring to the team when required, which is important. So even though I've been here a month, I'm still got to know even more about everybody.
Interesting stuff. So yeah, I mean, obviously Nigel does say that everyone is going to have their chance, but I mean, these are two players who, you know, having been involved a little while, Mark, haven't been too recently. Now, I guess the one we'll really want to speak about, because he's our player and he's a player a lot of fans like and a lot of fans rate, is Albie Morgan. Now, a lot of people, you know, saw the relationship between Albie and Lee Bowyer. I'm not suggesting there was anything other like than a, you know, like, I'm not suggesting Bo didn't like him as a person, but he obviously gave him little spells in the game. He sometimes a bit of tough love in the press. A lot of fans were like, why doesn't Bo rate him? Why aren't we seeing him coming straight into the side? But it is fairly interesting that hasn't really changed since Nigel's come in. Now, obviously, we've got a midfield that's doing well. Gilby's come back playing well. Forster-Caskey's undroppable. You know, there's Prattley does a different job in there. So you would say that there's people ahead of him. But, you know, the fact he hasn't really been involved at all is quite surprising for me. I mean, are you thinking that maybe Nigel is seeing the same thing that Lee's seen that he didn't like or doesn't think is quite there yet? Or is it purely because there's a lot of options there at the moment?
I think it's purely because of the options, because you've got Shinny there as well. And as we talked, you know, you said about Watson, who does that job. I don't think Bowyer disliked Morgan. I know the opinion was, you know, he was giving him some hard time at that age and thinking, is that the best thing to do? I think what it is that Bowyer sees so much potential in Morgan, and I think he was frustrated if he thinks that someone isn't living up to that potential, something who was, going out and trying to listen to what the instructions were and do what they wanted to do. I like Morgan. I think he's got good vision. Smith, if he went back to Arsenal, that's fine. It's let them deal with that. I just think with Morgan, I think he's, because he came into the side fairly early, I'd say, because we were struggling so much to put a sort of like field an 11. Possibly he'd suffered for it a bit because, you know, he is a very talented footballer. So I don't know. I think Nigel's looking at it now. He goes, it's what, 7 games to go. I need experience out there. It's not the right time. I think if we were mid-table, you know, with not a hope of relegation, not a hope of going up, I think we'd see an entirely, almost like an entirely different side with a lot of the youngsters getting an opportunity to make the bench or maybe start. And I think Albie would have been then. I think Nigel's saying to him, right, this is what we've got. We've got 7 games. We've got a chance of getting for playoffs. So do I put in an experienced player or do I try and rely on Albie, who might not have the experience, to come up against, a Doncaster midfield or whatever? And, you know, will that backfire on me just for his progression next year, because it could go against him. He could come in, have an absolutely howl of a game, get sent off, score an own goal, and that could sort of like almost dent his confidence so much. Even a good pre-season might not sort of like get it back. So I think it's about getting the results at the moment. It's about who's fit and available, and I don't think it's a worry. That we haven't seen it.
To be fair, I think I've fallen into my own trap that I think other people often fall into with a player of Albie's age who's been around for a while. Because don't forget, he's been in and around the first team since he was, 18? He's 21. He's only 21? I mean, that's very young. If we signed a 21-year-old on loan from Arsenal, you know, with Matt Smith's probably around that age as well, then I'd be thinking, well, yeah, he's no real surprise that he's not involved as much, or he's a youngster, you know, not involved with the first team. But that's sort of where we are. So that's an interesting point. I mean, Nathan, I mean Matt Smith, he's only 20. Albie, 21. We don't want to get carried away. I mean, these are players of an age where perhaps you don't expect them to start every week, and maybe, you know, I mean, Albie even playing in that game at Wimbledon. Maybe I am getting carried away with saying, why isn't he playing? Has Nigel given up on him or something like that? I think I'm getting ahead of myself.
I just think, I mean, if he played, I think since he went out of the team with Bowyer, he came back, I can't remember what game it was, and he played on the right, and he played really well. His positional play was good, his aggression was good, his enthusiasm was there. And, you know, for whatever reason, Nigel changed it, and we've done all right. I just think we're sitting there, on one hand, some of us going, don't, you know, we have to keep a winning side, keep the momentum. So then there's not much point, really, of just putting Albie in. We know he's a good player, he's on a contract. He's got plenty of time ahead of him. But I just don't see the point in changing it already. He's got to earn his right, just as every other player's got him. And I think, in terms of the Smith, I just think the Smith, apart from Terry Smith, obviously, the legend, I just think the Smith name is cursed. You've got Michael Smith, who didn't do well. You've got Matt Smith from Man City, didn't do well. Matt Smith from Arsenal, not doing well. Paul Smith from QPR.
I think you'd be adding Terry to that list if you tried to stick him in the midfield with his knees.
sit him as an anchor man. But yeah, no, I think, listen, I mean, everyone's got to earn their right. And I think at the moment, Gilby's come back. Jake's been amazing all season. Darren Prattley's just ever, you know, he's just evergreen, isn't he? He's like Peter Pan, never going to get old. But I just think we all know that he's, you know, Albie's there and there's loads of time, you know, and it's up to him to force his way into Nigel's plans. For all we know, he might be doing that. And, you know, Nigel's planning on putting him on Saturday, or there's some games coming up where he thinks that Albie's attributes are going to benefit the game. But different opposition poses different problems, of different weaknesses, and at the moment it might not be that Albie's attributes fit into that system. So we've just got to try and sit back and look at the whole picture, I think.
Mm, yeah, certainly. Right. One final bit of audio, obviously with the season coming to an end. Nigel was asked, you know, if work on new contracts and perhaps transfer window stuff is taking place behind the scenes already.
Yeah, there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes. For example, pre-season. So if we stay in League One or we don't get to the playoffs, we've obviously got a date we come back and we're in there, maybe we'll change that a little bit. But we've got our testing day sorted out. We've got the first day of pre-season at training. We just need the sign-off, but all being well, we've got a training camp away as well. Go up to the first game of the season. So that's important that we've got a structure to build towards and how we want to do pre-season. From a recruitment point of view, as you rightly just asked on there, obviously we've got Steve Gallen, Jed Roddy, how we want to do the recruitment, how we put it all together. So we're developing that and building that. We need to know where we're looking for. Like you say, are we in League One or are we in the Championship? That might detect the pool of players that we can actually attract and be going after at that moment in time. So it is that little bit of in the balance. But likewise, all the time, as I said, I watched the 23s, it's been able to establish, well, what players have we got at this moment in time with us? Some players maybe who are coming out of contract might have been doing okay, or they might have been doing too well. Who's going to fit into our plans moving forward? So we're assessing all that on a daily basis. As I say, the sooner we can start moving, with signatures, that will be beneficial, but it's got to be right as well, and right at the right time. I think you'll find as well, history will suggest that a lot of signings, especially in League One, are done the last couple of days of the transfer window. So that's basically at the end of pre-season as well. So let's not get in a position where you're going to ask me every single day. But it's great to keep the supporters updated as well as to what's happening, because we want to be signing players, but we want to be getting the best out of the players that we've got at the moment and making sure there's a pathway for all the youngsters coming through the system. If that makes
sense. There we go. I thought I'd just stick that clip in last, because it is quite interesting, obviously. It is tough, isn't it, when you don't know what division you're going to be in. So I guess the groundwork should be being laid already, though, Mark, and half an eye on if we are going to be a League One side. I guess that's probably the more likely outcome at the moment, even if we are on a good little run. As to where we're going to be next season, obviously a pre-season's being put together, which is exciting.
Yeah, it's good to have a plan. There's always so many players who you see released at the end of a season which surprise you, because you think to yourself, oh, I'd like them. And it's almost sort of like, it's like nipping in the supermarket half an hour before they close and they've put out the bargains. Mm. And you're thinking, oh yeah, I can pick up that. I can pick up my bag of kiwis. So
I mean, we're signing Chris Wood, maybe. I'm trying to think of New Zealand players.
And no, I think obviously, you know, Gallen's there. Gallen's got the plan, and now he's got Jed Roddy as well. So there's going to be names which come under the radar. There's going to be names which will surprise us. And there's going to be sort of like people who re-sign. I mean, I think the biggest issue for me is the players who are out in the summer who I'd like to see stick with us and not end up somewhere like Birmingham, which is people like Jake. You know, that's the one. You know, I know Pearce's contract's up. That's another issue
Chucks is probably the big one, isn't it? But yeah, there's plenty of players. It'll be quite interesting to see next summer where they do end up. Right, I'm gonna cut in because we have actually gone over time. So we will cut the show there. Thanks to all of you who've listened to this week's big match preview. If you want to have your say on anything ahead of Sunday's show, don't forget you can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. But for now, I will say thanks to all of you who've listened. Thank you to Nathan and to Mark for joining me on the big match preview.
Cheers, boys.
You're welcome.
Good to speak to you both. Let's hope that we, the Addicts, can get some a good result against Ipswich on Saturday. It's a massive, massive game. Really looking forward to it. Make sure you plop yourself down in front of the Valley Pass once again if you can. I don't know what the weather's like this weekend, but set up the laptop in the garden, have a couple of mates around, get a couple of beers going. It should be a good weekend. Right, I've been Louis Meadows. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again on Sunday. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.